In this episode, I'm going to relate to you the conversation relating to the baby formula shortage crisis that we seem to have in the United States today. You're going to see a pattern here with this crisis, with some other crisis. You're going to see a pattern here of conversation of how this falls out. And I want to urge you that this is an important issue, but it relates to the other episode where I interview a young woman who tells about her story of not being able to breastfeed and what she found that worked for her, which includes a good recipe for a baby formula. A good recipe for baby formula in contrast to what is purchased commercially. Okay, see you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. This is Sharon Sorrells, and I'm going to claim to be a grandmother. I am not a doctor, and my expertise in science has to do with social science, and this is not what we're going to talk about today. I'm just reporting the conversation to you and allowing you to decide. Unlike people who purport to be professional journalists these days. Okay, so we have an important issue. I think mothers are responsible for providing food for their children, their family, and as such, they are bound, to understand nutrition. And that's what we're going to talk about. And if you have a baby, then you're responsible for figuring out how you can best parent that. And one of the first things is you discover that nursing is what you should be doing for your baby. Breast is best, but some people can't. I understand, some people can't. Of course, even more basic than that is keeping the children safe. And in most instances, parents very well know that. They know that very well. But sometimes in our society, some people need to be reminded. Safety first. I think we have learned, we have figured out that we don't bottle feed for convenience, we don't bottle feed for health for the baby, we don't bottle feed for the health of the mother. None of that is true. The sucking motion on the breast helps the muscles in the abdomen. The sucking motion for the child's face is good. The milk of the mother is exactly perfect. That's what God created. And it has been the only option for the survival of humanity. And humanity, I don't know, is doing better lately. But anyway, however, we do have a lot more technology. And so in some cases, whether there's some unusual health situation of the mother or whatever, there is a substitute. Okay, so commercial formula exists. I have a very poor opinion of that. But in today's world, if you spread truth in an effort to help somebody, you very likely could get shut down. And I don't make any money on this podcast, that's for sure, but I don't want a big corporation coming after me and taking my assets. So we'll just pose it as my opinion, but I it's settled, and I think it's a rational one. I would just recommend reading ingredients. I think that's enough said. Okay, So today in the news, today when I'm recording this is May the 12th. Today I'm seeing headlines that there is a shortage. So I'm going to relay what I'm finding in the news. First, you may be familiar that there is a lot of talk about shortages of food and other substances, of supply chain snafus, some people say. I've come to discover that where you get your news matters a whole lot, even which browser you use. So you may or may not have heard that, last I looked, 16, today I'm seeing over 24 food plants have burned or exploded or have had planes flown into them, always on Wednesday night or Thursday morning. But if I put into my browser, I say, no, this is all fake news. If you'd like to know about the claims about food processing plants being burned, you could go to Tucker Carlson on Fox News, or you could go to Rumble or any of the other alternative sites and find out about those claims. And of course, if you listen to the legacy media, that's nonsense, right? Epoch Times is reporting today about the shortage of baby formula. So Epoch Times is the only responsible newspaper that I know of today. Maybe there's another, but I don't know of it. Anyway, so let me just go over the baby, U.S. baby formula shortage. This is today's post, May the 12th. Okay, intensifying. It says that the out-of-stock rates are climbing and are up to 43% nationally and over 50% in certain states. And they list those states in their article. And they say that the history here is that Abbott Labs was closed down some time ago by the FDA over allegations of a contamination, a bacterial contamination, which Abbott disputes, and they're still not open. So Abbott Labs seems to be one of the major manufacturing. And of course, this is now becoming a controversy, and you could see more about that controversy in the government, elsewhere, Rumble, etc. Let's see. Part of that controversy, you see that representatives in the Congress are upset because pallets of baby formula is being sent to illegal aliens while our shelves are empty. I think that's very curious, because why would illegal aliens want formula? If I were a poor woman from Guatemala, Mexico, Honduras, or something, and were walking to the United States with my baby, in the first place, I'm not sure I would do that. In the second place, if I were doing it, I would be breastfeeding my baby. Why would I have formula? If I were rich enough in those countries to buy formula, I wouldn't be coming on foot to the United States. So that makes no sense to me. And given my own experience of having formula forced on me when I was a nursing mother, then I kind of wonder if that's happening. I just don't know. I do remember in the 1980s that one of the causes that we were concerned about was the high death rate in Africa, because formula was being marketed. And my understanding is that there were whole grave sites, whole hillsides full of baby graves. And since it was their culture to put the dead person's most prized possession, these hillsides of graveyards with baby graves all had bottles on them. What was happening is that at that point, the African mothers were too poor to buy enough formula. So they were watering down the formula, and they may have been too poor to buy enough fuel to sterilize the bottles, and so the babies were not getting enough nutrition and getting bacterial and other infections, and so this simply was not appropriate in that culture. And the largest maker of baby formula had those of us young women who were of a mind to be activists were protesting. Now, in today's environment, I'm not going to say the name of their company, but the company also makes wonderful iced tea and really tasty chocolate chips to bake with and was making baby formula. And back in the 80s, we young women activists credited them with killing hundreds, thousands of African babies. So that's why they don't want us old people around, because we remember. Okay, so back to the Epoch Times article quotes the FDA cautioning parents. The first caution is against watering down the formula. And I would agree that if you water down formula, then you don't have proper nutrition. But primarily, if you look at the ingredients to commercial formula, you don't have proper nutrition, in my opinion. You just read it, and you see if you think it's proper.
I'm pretty sure I'm on the right side of the law and unsuable for saying that.
You read the ingredients to anything and notice that corn syrup is. I will just simply report that when I was a student at the University of Texas at Austin, it was reported to me in class, you know, a professor said this, that somebody had done a research project in Plan 2, that's the Honor Society,
Honors Program in Liberal Arts,
and came out with the finding that corn syrup was the most carcinogenic substance in our food supply. So anyway, maybe I'm biased because it sure doesn't do me any good. But anyway, you decide. You look, okay, but I do agree that watering down formula wouldn't be a good thing. However, this Epoch Times article says because putting water in the formula will trigger seizures and brain swelling. I don't understand how that is. If you put good, clean water in formula, why would it do that? I don't get that. Also didn't like it very much when the public health nurse told me that my breastfed baby needed more water because it was summer. Yeah, well, bright summer in Canada. Ridiculous. Anyway, all right. And then the FDA has, I'm going to read here. Here's the Epoch Times, and I quote, the FDA has discouraged parents from making formula at home due to, quote, very serious health concerns, unquote, for babies. Quote, the potential problems associated with errors in selecting and combining ingredients for the formula are very serious and range from severe nutritional imbalances to unsafe products that can harm infants, unquote, the agency noted. And at this point, I'm very tempted to break out in really ugly, derisive laughing that the FDA would say such a thing. I suppose that this could be true if you posited an extraordinarily stupid mom and she was putting extraordinarily inappropriate ingredients. But I don't think the average American is that stupid. You know, this is like saying that ivermectin is horribly unsafe and that monoclonal antibodies should be, that Americans should be protected from monoclonal antibodies in times of COVID, you know, in favor of some sort of treatment that was so dangerous that animal trials were stopped. Really? There is so much to be said here, but it is dangerous. If I altruistically told you what I know, based on government figures and basic math, if I told you what some of us know, and I would be doing so to save your life, It would be so politically incorrect that even well-meaning friends would tell me to shut up and very likely lawyers would tell me to shut up. But I think you need to find out. All right, so just reporting the conversation, there are people who are pointing out that some of the short list of suspicious character billionaires who have invested in laboratory research are in the wings once again with some synthetic products that the population is now very likely being funneled toward. One of the most fulsome reporters I would point to would be Stu Peters, Stu like spelled S-T-E-W, Peters, who has a program that runs, I see him on frankspeech.com, so you can find him there. You can go directly to his website, stupeters.com, or you could go to Rumble, and you could find out more about this conversation. So I'm just going to leave you those breadcrumbs. Okay, so I'm going to just put up some links to other reporters who've reporting more on this, because I'm just a grandmother who wants to help you have faith that your children can do well and passing along good ideas, right? I'm not a doctor. Hallelujah. Okay, and I'm not a government official. And why would you believe such people? Anyway, I'm going to put links to people. You could just go to a place like rumble.com and put in baby formula and find it. Find a lot of conversation. And then you make up your mind about what is true. I'm still just flabbergasted that we need to talk about what is true. And so many people seem to be, well, again, it has to do with where you get your information and what information you get. Okay, so I'm over time, but I'm still going to end with some Bible verses, because we were having such a good time with Christina and having a great time thinking about healthy, wonderful babies. And so let's think about the contrast here. And so I looked up, tried to find a good scripture verse, and I found, because my index is King James or authorized version, I came up, best I could come up with, is Deuteronomy 32 and verse 25. But that's not a happy verse. It says, "The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling, also with the man of gray hairs." So what is going on there? Well, this is considered the most horrible curse, that you would have sword without and terror within. Looks like we've got that. Health problems for the baby and for the old people. Yes, well, what is going on? So let's just back up to Deuteronomy 32 and maybe 19. The Lord saw it and abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. So somebody was hurting God's kids, and God got angry. Verse 22, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." So guess what? There is such a thing as hell. And God is mad when you hurt other people. And this is the curse, that there would be sword without and terror within. But there is, by contrast, a blessing for those who are good, who are the sons and daughters of God. And of course, we believe that's open to anybody who would like to open their hearts, align with goodness and truth. And so let's skip down to the end of that. So this is Moses speaking and talking to Joshua. And, you know, this is Moses' final cursing and blessing in the final days of his life. And so at the end, this is Deuteronomy 32, and let's read verses 46 and 47. And he said unto them, this is Moses saying to the people of Israel, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. 47. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. So this is the claim, that God the Creator has given us guidance, and if we follow that, we will have a better life. That's Moses' claim. And we further make the claim, based on Jesus, the Messiah, that you can repent, you can turn around and look to God, be willing to walk in the good way, and find repentance in God because of the work and merits of Jesus, and even have a reward in heaven. But God wants total well-being for all children now. One day we will see it, but now. So I encourage you to open your heart, turn your ways to align with the Creator's, with the teacher of truth and righteousness, to receive the love that has been poured out for you, for sons and daughters, and for your sons and daughters. Okay, well, let's don't just leave it there. Let's get over the finish line. Would you like to ally yourself with the King of the Universe? Would you like to receive love? Would you like to receive protection of the great Redeemer? Yeah, it's a good bet. So please accompany me to the throne of grace. Lord God, we hear that you are in the business of saving people, that if we believe that you raise Christ from the dead, and we are willing to make you Lord, that you will also be our Savior. You will forgive sins, and you will wash us clean, bring us into your family, and give us a good life here and later. We're willing to receive that. Lord, I turn to you. I give you my life. I take your life. That's a great deal. We thank you for it. Amen. So we believe, based on Romans, the 10th chapter, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead and you make him Lord through faith, that you are saved. You're saved from the wrath of God, which will eventually come. He's slow to wrath, wishing that none should perish. But there is a judgment, and there is a heaven and a hell. It is not just about reciting a prayer. It is about meaning it. And this is the stake. This is the beginning of life, the stake in the ground, as it were, the marker. So turn your life to Jesus. He has turned toward you. And yes, you may be called upon to follow him. You are called upon to follow him, to take up your cross and follow him. And so, yes, in your following him, in your righteousness, you may be persecuted and even killed. Hallelujah. But on the other side of that is stunning. Just think about it. A life of glory because you lived righteously. A life unending of glory because of the short tribulation that you got here. You know what? There's a tribulation here anyway, isn't there? It's a good deal. And if we dipped into negativity today, it was only to save lives, to save babies from ill health, possibly learning disabilities. It's worthwhile to talk about a problem when you can fix it. Otherwise, have fun. Bless God. He loves you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
Most of all, won't you share this? Won't you share this good news? Share about good and evil. Share about this baby food solution. Share about life-saving reality. You do know, right, about the other episode where I interviewed Christina, a young mom who talks about her experience with a particular recipe for baby formula. Much better than commercial formula, right? So it's right next, wherever you got this episode, that episode's right next to it. Also come to the website at www.greatshalom.org. Great, like big, and shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. And please come and join us. Join us. We are a lioness pride who are there for our cubs. We'd love to have you do that. Come to the website at greatshalom.org or Overcoming Learning Problems and find out about the merch we have. We've got some help for understanding homeschooling and other topics. We've got some good sales. But also there are a lot of episodes that are loaded up. We're giving this to you for free. This has been given to you. So we're asking you to join in that kingdom culture and give freely too. Most of all, please share this website, share this episode, share this good news of God's love. Because that's what we're saying, that the spiritual and the practical go together, because the Creator is the same as the Redeemer. And God has good intentions. But because God gave humans free will, there's evil in the world. So, we're offering you the good way. Come with us, all right? You can be a son or daughter of God. And your children can live under that blessing because God wants total well-being for all children.